empowered to witness, Pentecost. Today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon and into the lives of the 120 disciples gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. Now this happened 2,011 years ago. And the good news is, the Holy Spirit is still coming upon and into the hearts of people today. Praise the Lord. This feast day of Pentecost originated in the East in the 3rd century and is, in all probability, the Christianization of the Jewish Feast of Weeks. The Jewish Feast of Weeks was originally a thanksgiving for the wheat harvest. And this feast took place 50 days after Passover. So the Christian festival of Pentecost is therefore 50 days after Easter. Well, on this particular evening, Sunday being the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered in a borrowed room with the doors locked out of fear the Jews would come and take them away to be crucified. As fearful as they were, the 120 were obedient in having listened to Jesus tell them to go and wait in Jerusalem until they have received power from on high, meaning the Holy Spirit. They were told not to leave until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't know what to expect. I don't think it takes very much imagination to understand what must have been going through their minds during those hours. You know, everything Jesus had taught them, the miracles he had performed, the conflicts with the Pharisees. As great as all of that was, I can imagine them asking, but now what? We're sitting here waiting for something. Where is this going to leave me? I've risked a lot here. Oh, will this faith really work? When it really matters and I push the green button marked start, will anything happen? And with those questions pressing in on them, these 120 disciples of Jesus waited and prayed for a miracle. And their obedience paid off. Our reading of Acts 2 is the account of the miracle of Pentecost. As the gathering of the disciples in the upper room waited and prayed together, suddenly there was a violent wind and tongues of fire. And they were speaking languages they had not learned. What an exhilarating yet almost frightening moment it must have been. For all these symbols were signs of God's divine presence in their midst. The wind was a sign of power. The fire was a sign of purity. Tongues were for the purpose of proclamation. On this day called Pentecost, which they would never forget, they had been touched and filled with the very presence and spirit of Christ himself. And that's what God wanted to do all along. God has always wanted our relationship to him to be so much more than a set of rituals we go through or a list of doctrines which we are to believe in. God has always wanted to be in us, to take up residence in our hearts and restore us to his original dream of who we would be. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to take up residence in us, live in us, fill us, and empower us. To do what? To live the life of Jesus in this world. That is what Pentecost is all about. God never wanted or designed that our relationship with him to be one of distance or casual acquaintance. He desires intimacy with us, restoring us to a life of freedom, peace, and joy. But that's not all God wants to do. And that's not all that this story is about. The presence and work of the Holy Spirit is intensely personal, but it is not private. Acts 2, and indeed the whole book, makes clear that the purpose of the Spirit was to empower the church, that's with a big C, to witness. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The very first thing these Spirit-filled believers did was to hit the city with the proclamation of the good news. Suddenly, in verse 5 of chapter 2, the scene shifts from the upper room to the streets of the city, where people from all kinds of different countries were hearing the good news in their own language. The Holy Spirit does come to comfort and teach and bring peace. But the very first gift given by the Holy Spirit is the gift to witness. The Holy Spirit gives us courage and the power to be witnesses of Jesus Christ to our world. The whole story of Pentecost is not a story of how the Spirit comes to ease the life of the believer. It's a story of evangelism, bringing another person into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our church needs to live in the power of proclamation. That is our mission. And if we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us for witness, then nothing else we do as a church will matter anyway. If we fail in our mission as a church, it will not be because of a lack of ministries. It won't be a lack of leadership. It won't be a lack of finances. It won't be a marketing problem or an image problem. If we fail in our mission, it will be a failure to allow the Holy Spirit to move us and empower us to proclaim the gospel to our world. We must see the world is sitting there asking the same questions we ask. It looks nice. It looks impressive. They seem to have a lot of fun together. Their lives seem to be different. The way of Jesus Christ looks fairly interesting from the outside. But what does it do? In other words, what real difference does it make? The only way they will ever know the answer to that question is if somebody pushes the big green button. You and I must allow the Holy Spirit to do in our lives what he did for these believers in Acts 2. Because we don't even turn the page before we hear that this church was living together, devoting themselves to the study of scriptures, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, to worship, and to prayer. They brought resources together so they could meet the physical needs of their community. Clearly, something was happening among them that could not be explained in any other way than the desire of Moses and the prophets had come true. Apparently, God had placed his Spirit in their hearts. And the proof in the pudding was that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, I can point to lots of examples, stories, programs, efforts, testimonies, and people that would seem to suggest that we are a church. But looking at the big picture, looking at us against the paradigm of Acts chapter 2, what are we doing? What real difference are we making? As I think and pray over all the people who now call this their church home, I find myself resonating with the cry of Moses, O Lord, how I wish that you would pour out your Spirit on all of your people. The thing is, God has done that. The Spirit of God is present and available to fill your heart and empower your life to make a difference. But it doesn't happen by accident. It goes to the intention of waiting before God with an open and hungry heart. Have you ever experienced the Pentecost moment in your life? I see some heads doing this and some are. Have you ever invited and asked the divine presence of Christ to fill you? Body, mind, soul, and spirit? Is your faith working? Is there power in your life to live like Jesus every day? Are others coming to know about Jesus because of you? Perhaps it's time for you to experience a contemporary Pentecost. It doesn't matter how impressive the machinery looks in your life or in our church, unless the green button is pushed, unless the power is applied, it doesn't really mean much. Pentecost is still happening. It happens in the lives of ordinary people who give up trying to control everything themselves and who surrender that control to the Lord Jesus. Have you done that? Are you willing to do that now and be a witness to the world around you? Imagine St. Paul coming up here and sharing with you how the Holy Spirit is going to empower and use his gifts to help our church grow. We heard him say earlier this morning, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one of you. To each is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by the one and same Spirit who distributes to each one of you individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. I think Paul would further challenge us by saying, now seek what gift the Holy Spirit has given you, and step out in faith with the gift the Holy Spirit has given you, so that St. Paul's will grow, becoming a powerful witness of Jesus, beginning in Henderson and to the ends of the world. Amen.